If you would like to join us, I have the most popular movie of every year from 1937 to 2005. And if you would like to know what the most popular movie was, the big movie of the year that you were born, you can call us or text us right now. Give us the year and I'll tell you, and we can talk about the movies and all that cool stuff. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Hey, Vic, what year were you born?
71.
71. All right. Are you interested in finding out what movie was?
I'm confident I'll have no idea.
Okay.
What it is when you tell me?
No, you'll know what it is.
Because I was like zero.
Well, I know, but old. I mean, like, I was like 0 years old.
I was busy with other things at the time.
Well, it's Fiddler on the Roof.
Whoa,
Fiddler on the Roof.
I stand corrected. I have heard of that one.
Yeah, Topol stars.
It's one of my mom's favorite movies.
Is it? Well, see, there you got to tell her. You got to tell
her. I'm her favorite kid too.
That was
so.
The Topol played the Jewish father of five girls during the period when Imperial Russia ruled Ukraine. In the big screen adaptation of the beloved musical, Fiddler on the Roof was the top grossing film of that year. It won 3 of the 8 Oscars it was nominated for. It lost the Academy Award, though, for Best Picture to the second highest grossing film of that year, Vic, The French Connection.
Whatever.
French Connection. Great movie. All right. Esmeralda, you were 83, right?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see. 83. Oh, well, this is an obvious one, Esmeralda.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, let's say it's associated with a big movie that's coming out next week.
Oh, Star Wars.
Yeah, it's Jedi. Return of the Jedi came out in 1983. Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, Mark Hamill reunited for the third installment of the Star Wars franchise, which was the top grossing film of that year. Return of the Jedi earned 4 Oscar nominations and won a Special Achievement Academy Award for visual effects. So there it was, Esmeralda. You were born and everybody was going to see Jedi.
I could imagine.
Yeah. I remember I saw it with a bunch of people from high school. We went to the Golf Mill Theater. Golf Mill Theater doesn't exist anymore. But we went to the Golf Mill Theater to see it. And it was just a couple of weeks before we graduated high school. A couple of weeks before I graduated high school. Dan, you're 81, right?
Yes.
Oh. Any idea, Dan?
I believe it is Indiana Jones.
It's Raiders of the Lost Ark, yes. Wow. Harrison Ford stars as archaeologist Indiana Jones in the Steven Spielberg-directed action-adventure flick, which eventually spawned 3 sequels. Raiders of the Lost Ark was the top-grossing film of the year, almost doubled what runner-up On Golden Pond made at the box office. It also won 4 of the 8 Oscars for which it was nominated, as well as a Special Achievement Award for special sound effects editing. Ultimately, though, the first installment of Indiana Jones lost the Academy Award for Best Picture to Chariots of Fire. By the way, that's the year, Esmeralda and Dan, that I mooned the TV.
Oh, for the Oscars.
Yes.
For Reds.
Yes, because Chariots of Fire won Best Picture over Reds, which is just absurd. So, I'm the oldest here. 1965 I was born, and I knew this one. I actually knew this. The movie that was the most popular the year I was born is a perennial favorite of the world. 1965, most popular movie of the year I was born, Sound of Music. Julie Andrews starred as Maria, a young governess who slowly falls for Christopher Plummer's Captain Von Trapp, the stern father of the children in her care, in the big screen adaptations of the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical based in pre-Third Reich-ruled Austria. The Sound of Music, which was the top-grossing film of that year, won 5 of the 10 Oscars for which it was nominated, including Best Picture and Best Director. There you go. So, let's see. Esmeralda, what year was your brother born?
76.
76. Oh, this is a coincidence, Esmeralda.
Is it another? No.
Star Wars 78? Was 77.
Okay.
No, it's a coincidence because I happen to be showing this movie next month at my film club. It's Rocky.
Oh, nice.
Sylvester Stallone starred in the beloved sports drama Rocky, which was the top grossing film of the year and won 3 of the 10 Oscars for which it was nominated, including Best Picture and Best Director. It beat Network. If I would have known better in 1976, I would have mooned then, too. But Rocky's a great movie, and it's going to be fun to watch it on the big screen. It's January 9th, by the way. Tickets are on sale right now. You can go to amctheaters.com and order your tickets, but it's on sale right now. And I will host it, and then afterwards we'll talk about it. It'll be fun. So Rocky, 1976. Dan, what your brother? What year?
83 we have covered, so 87 for the other one.
Okay, 87. I'm trying to remember what 87 would be. Oh boy, Dan. Which brother was born in 87?
David.
David, okay. Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah, that movie rules.
Yeah, man. Well, Gutenberg's in it. Steve Gutenberg, Tom Selleck, and Ted Danson stars as bachelors who suddenly find themselves caring for a baby girl while juggling a drug deal gone bad in the Leonard Nimoy-directed comedy of errors, Three Men and a Baby, which was the top-grossing film of the year. I can't believe... I don't remember a drug deal gone bad. Where?
Oh, yeah.
What? Okay, I've only seen the movie once.
There's a big party at the beginning, and a suitcase gets left, and...
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember... I swear to God, I don't remember that at all. I don't remember anything about that movie except that they get peed on. That's the only thing that I remember is...
So you just remember the lovable part.
I guess, yeah. And I also remember the urban legend about Three Men and a Baby. Esmeralda, do you know the urban legend about it?
There's some man hiding in a window.
No, it's the ghost of a kid.
Oh.
They said that someone died, a kid died, and that you can see the ghost in the background of one shot, like behind a curtain by a window.
Or it was just grip.
It was a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson.
That's even creepier.
Because he's in the is it Ted? Yeah, Ted Danson, right? Because Ted Danson mm-hmm. plays the actor.
Yeah.
So Ted Danson's an actor, and he's very narcissistic, and he's got a bunch of pictures of himself throughout the house. And one of the things that he had, and then they cut it out of the movie, was they had a scene with his cardboard cutout, and he was talking about how he had his own cardboard cutout. But they cut that out of the movie, so there's this shadowy figure in the background of this. Of one shot in the curtain, and so people were like, "Oh, it's a kid killed himself, and he's a ghost," and that was what they said. Let's see. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. You know, the biggest movie of 1937. Biggest movie of 19. It's amazing. Is Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. 1937, that movie. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was based on the Brothers Grimm fairy tale. It wasn't only the top grossing film of 1937, it also was the very first feature-length animated movie, as well as the very first Disney movie. Walt Disney won an honorary Academy Award for the cartoon for significant screen innovation, which has charmed millions and pioneered a great new entertainment field. So that was the very first feature-length animated movie, was Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and it still holds up. Do you ever watch that one when you were a kid, Esmeralda?
I did not.
No?
No.
No, it's good. It's good. 1938, Alexander's Ragtime Band. Tyrone Power starred as the title character who shames his family by pursuing jazz instead of classical music in this drama, which spans the history of jazz over the course of more than two decades. Excuse me. Legendary composer Irving Berlin wrote the film, which is named after a song he wrote. Alexander's Ragtime Band was the top-grossing film of that year, and it won 6 Oscars for which it was nominated. Best score. Ultimately, it lost the Academy Award for Best Picture with You Can't Take It With You. Classic movie. All right. You know, you look back at some of these, like in the 60s, they're all these big, crazy, epic movies were always, like, in the 60s. In 1960, you had Spartacus. If you were born in 60, the biggest movie was Spartacus, one of those big epic deals. 61, classic musical, West Side Story. Esmeralda, what did you say the gangs were in West Side Story again? Do you remember?
Snakes and the Cobras.
The Snakes and the Cobras, that's right. That's right.
The Jets and the Snakes.
It's the Jets and the Sharks, but...
Oh, Sharks.
Yeah, it's a bunch of... Snakes and Cobras. I think that would be better.
I mean, then that would mean they're essentially one and the same.
Yeah. But they're fighting in their own, world.
Yeah. Or Jets and Cobras.
Jets and Cobras.
What am I thinking of Cobras? I might be thinking of...
Are you thinking of the Sylvester Stallone movie, Cobra?
No, I think I'm thinking
Karate Kid?
Karate Kid, yeah.
Karate Kid. Cobra Kai, man. Sweep the leg. Sweep the leg. That one came out in 1984. I remember that. Hey, by the way, I was watching Graham Norton's show the other day. And if you guys don't watch, Graham Norton is great, by the way. If you know, he's on BBC America, and his talk show is great. Esmeralda, you like Graham Norton, right?
Yeah, he's great.
He's great. And I like what he does with his show. He has all the guests out on the couch, and they do all kinds of really cool stuff. He has musical guests on. Last week I watched it. Bananarama were on. And I guess they sort of reunited and they're touring, or at least in the UK they're touring. And they played Cruel Summer. They sang Cruel Summer, which was in Karate Kid, which got its first playing in Karate Kid. They're playing it on the beach, on the radio on the beach, before Daniel's son meets Elizabeth Shue. So, anyway, Karate Kid, 1984. Yeah. All right, let's take a break here. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. If you'd like to know what the biggest movie was the year you were born, give us a call, and we'll talk about some of these other movies that came out over those years. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Throw a year at us, and we'll tell you what movie was huge when you were born. And that's coming up right here on 720 WGN. Yeah, man. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. We're here till 5. How you doing? It's Friday. Fly Jams Friday will be coming up. DJ Shagru will be in-house. Esmeralda the Heart Melda. Viggity Viggity Vic. And Wiki Wiki Nikki will be here. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. And we're talking about, I have a list here from between 1937 and 2005, the most popular movies of each year. And if you would like to know a specific year, maybe, I don't know, the year that you got married or the year you were born or specific years of other things. And I can tell you what movies. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Martin in Bolingbrook says, what movie was in 1967, the year of his birth, 1967? Was it The French Connection? No, French Connection, as we mentioned, was 1971. Let's see, 67 is The Graduate. Good one, Martin and Bolingbroke. Yeah, The Graduate. Dustin Hoffman starred as Benjamin Braddock, who's seduced by Anne Bancroft's Mrs. Robinson in the iconic Mike Nichols-directed dramedy, which is based on the Charles Webb novel. The Graduate was the top-grossing film of that year, earned 7 Oscar nominations, but only took one home for Best Director. Ultimately, it lost the Academy Award for Best Picture to In the Heat of the Night. It was a big year for cinema. The other 3 Best Picture nominees were Bonnie and Clyde, Dr. Doolittle, and Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. By the way, Martin, you turned 50 this year. Congratulations. Marco from the South Side, what about 1971? As we mentioned, it's The French it's 1971, as we mentioned, was Fiddler on the Roof. Fiddler on the Roof. And that's the year that Vic was born as well. Okay, Hannah wants to know 1966. She's a year younger than me. All right, Hannah, let me find 1966 here. The Bible in the Beginning. John Huston portrayed Noah and served as the narrator as well as the voice of God in this biblical epic, which he also directed. The Bible in the Beginning focused on 5 Bible stories: creation, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, Noah's Ark, and Abraham. It was also the top-grossing film of the year, but earned just 1 Oscar nomination for Best Original Score. So there you go, Hannah, the Bible. Keith in Kansas wants to know 1963, the year he was born. Cleopatra. Oh. Elizabeth Taylor starred as the Queen of Egypt, and Richard Burton portrayed her paramour, Mark Antony. Antony. In this epic drama, in spite of its troubled production, the film famously went far over its production budget, was plagued by scandal due to the affair between its stars. Cleopatra was the top-grossing film of the year. It won 4 of its 9 Academy Awards, for which it was nominated, but it lost the Academy Award for Best Picture to Tom Jones. And that's not the guy who sings, What's New, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa! Tom Jones is the period piece with Albert Finney.
What about 1950?
50? What's significant there?
My dad was born 50.
Your dad was born in 1950?
Yes.
Okay. King Solomon's Mines.
All right.
Stuart Granger starred as an adventurer helping a woman, played by Deborah Kerr, and her brother, Richard Carlson, search for her missing husband in the mines of Africa in the big screen adaptation of the 1885 novel King Solomon's Mines. The action-adventure film was the top-grossing film of 1950. Aside from Samson and Delilah, which debuted in 1949, and it won two of its three Oscars, the Best Picture went to All About Eve that year in 1950. You know, they remade King Solomon's Mines. You guys familiar with the remake?
Mm-mm.
With Richard Chamberlain? It came out in the mid-80s, and it was essentially, at that time, everybody was trying to make their own Raiders of the Lost Ark. So they were making these really terrible sort of cheap knockoffs. And King Solomon's Mines was, I want to say Sharon Stone was in it. Or maybe she was in the sequel, because they did a sequel to it. But yeah, King Solomon's Mines, it was canon. It was a canon film from Canon, the fantastic Canon Studios. Oh, boy. So 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's see. Here is Teresa. Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine.
Okay. What year do you want to know about here?
1943
is For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Wow.
Gary Cooper, Ingrid Bergman star as anti-fascist guerrillas and fall in love during the Spanish Civil War and the big screen adaptation of the Hemingway novel. In addition to being the top grossing film of 1943, the war drama earned 9 Academy Award nominations, including Best Picture, ultimately won 1, Best Supporting Actress. Another Bergman film, Casablanca, won the Oscars for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay that year. So same year as Casablanca, which was a good year, Teresa.
Oh, yes. Fantastic.
There you go. For Whom the Bell Tolls. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. For Whom the Bell Tolls.
How about 39?
39. What's significant there?
It's my mom's birthday.
Your mom's birthday. Gone with the Wind.
No. Oh.
Wow, oh, huh? Vivian Leigh starred as Scarlett O'Hara opposite Clark Gable as Rhett Butler in the big screen adaptation of the Margaret Mitchell novel, which spans decades in the life of the daughter of a Georgia plantation owner before and after the Civil War. The epic love story wasn't only the top grossing film of 39, it's also considered the most successful film of all time when you adjust gross for inflation. And that's true. That's true. If you adjust the gross, nothing is going to beat Gone with the Wind. Nothing. It also won an honorary Academy Award for outstanding achievement and use of color for the enhancement of dramatic mute and technical achievement for pioneering the use of coordinated equipment. It won 8 of its 13 Oscars, including picture, director, and lead actress. So your dad was, or mom was born on the year, one of the biggest movie ever made.
Wow.
Yeah. 39, if I'm not mistaken, 39 was also Wizard of Oz, was the year the Wizard of Oz came out. 39 was a legendary year. If you go back and look at 1939, it is considered to be perhaps the best year of American cinema history, Esmeralda.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember the entire list, but there is this incredible list of movies that came out in 1939 that have gone on to become classics, and they all came out that same year. And I know there's more, but it's Wizard of Oz and Gone with the Wind both came out that year, and then there's a ton of other ones, too. So, amazing year of the movies, so there you go. All right, we got a break here. We got the news coming up next on 720 WGN. All righty, then. Hi, welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of Trib Tower. It's Friday morning, Fly Jams Friday. Coming up a little bit later on, in just a few minutes, we're going to have You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies. You Big Dummy, if you want to be a You Big Dummy reader, please find a link to a funny dummy story of a news story where somebody does something really dumb. Find a link to it. Send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Say, hey, I'd like to read this on the air. Dan will get a hold of you. We'll figure it out. You will read it on the air. Not only will you be a part of the segment, but you also get yourself some Lumel Nauti's pieces. So it's a win-win-win situation. Find the link and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. That's coming up in a few minutes. We've been talking about movies, popular movies for the year you were born, and I've got going back to 1937 and up to 2005, and we got a bunch of texts coming in here. People who are curious to know what movie was out when they were the year they were born. Steve texted in about 1954. 1954, good one. Rear Window. That's a good one. James Stewart stars as a photographer confined to a wheelchair who suspects that a neighbor has murdered his wife in the iconic Alfred Hitchcock-directed thriller, which earned 4 Oscar nominations. Rear Window. I think that might still be the biggest hit of Hitchcock's career, like commercial hit. I know Psycho made a lot of money, too, but I'm pretty sure that Rear Window is the biggest sort of financial success, biggest hit he ever had. Keith texted in, what about 1964? 1964? My Fair Lady. Look at that. 2 years in a row. The year I was born, 1965, Sound of Music. 64, My Fair Lady. Audrey Hepburn starred as Eliza Doolittle opposite Rex Harrison as Professor Henry Higgins in the big screen adaptation of the musical My Fair Lady, which was based on the George Bernard Shaw play Pygmalion, in which a phonetics expert makes a bet that he can transform a poor flower seller into a proper lady. It was the top-grossing film of the year. It won 8 of its 12 Oscars for which it was nominated, including Best Picture and Best Lead Actor. My Fair Lady. There you go. Nancy wants to know 1956. 1956. All right, let's see. 1956? The Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. Charlton Heston starred as Moses in the iconic biblical epic The Ten Commandments. Cecil B. DeMille directed drama. It was the top grossing film of the year. It won 7 Oscars for which it was nominated, but it ultimately lost the Academy Award for Best Picture to Around the World in 80 Days. And that's considered to be one of the biggest upsets in Oscar history. That's a whole nother topic. We already talked about Chariots of Fire beating Reds. Peter Indicator. Hi, Peter. 1951, Peter Indicator. Quo Vadis. Robert Taylor starred as a Roman officer who falls in love with a Christian woman, played by Deborah Kerr, as early Christians were persecuted by the insane Emperor Nero in this drama. It was the top-grossing film of the year. It earned 8 Academy Award nominations, and it lost Best Picture to An American in Paris, and is now considered to be the more iconic of the two films. Yeah, American in Paris is one of the greatest movies ever made. Miles, Jen Bosworth's husband, says, Nick, I was born in 67. He said, was it One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest? No, we did 67. And it turned out to be The Graduate, again, a great one. You got The Graduate, Miles. Jay in Ohio, I was born in 55. Marty and Rear Window are two of my favorite movies. Well, Rear Window was 54, so 55 is The Cinerama Holiday. Because Cinerama became a thing then. That's why everybody was going to see it, because it was this new thing. Though some of the Hollywood's most iconic films came out that year, Oklahoma, 7-Year Itch, Lady and the Tramp, it was since forgotten. It's a travel documentary that has been since forgotten called Cinerama Holiday that ruled the box office that year. The film chronicled the adventures of an American couple traveling in Europe and of a European couple traveling in the United States. Well, people went to go see it just because of the Cinerama. It was a big gimmick. 630 area code. Hey, I was born in 46. All right, let's find out what is the best years of our lives. Two films ruled the box office in 46. Duel and The Sun, The Best Years of Our Lives. While the Western earned only 2 Oscar nominations for Lead Actress and Supporting Actress, the drama won a whopping 8 Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Lead Actor, Supporting Actor, and Director. The star of the film, a real soldier named Harold Russell, who lost both of his hands while serving in the Army, made his acting debut as a veteran adjusting to civilian life following World War II, in addition to his Oscar. For lead actor, the newcomer took home an honorary Academy Award for bringing hope and courage to fellow veterans. That's a heartbreaking movie, by the way, if you've never seen it. 262 area code says, I was born in 69. Hey, that was the summer that Bryan Adams bought his first real six string. I don't know if you guys know. He bought it at the Five and Dime. He played it till his fingers bled. Did you know that, Dan?
I had heard a rumor.
Oh, this is a good one. 1969, the biggest movie was Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. What a great movie. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
I have not.
It's so good. Paul Newman, Robert Redford starred as outlaws in this iconic Western, which was the top-grossing film of 1969 and won 4 of the 7 Academy Awards for which it was nominated. Ultimately, it lost Best Picture to Midnight Cowboy, which filled less than half as many theaters as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. So, Doug wants to know 1959. Okay. 1959 is Ben-Hur, man. Don't even mess around with Chuck Heston. Charlton Heston starred as Ben-Hur. You remember they remade it 2 years ago? What? I thought it was a joke. I swear to you, when they were like, they had posters for it, I was like, this is what? Is this an Onion thing? This can't be real. They're remaking Ben-Hur? It won 11 of the 12 Oscars it was nominated for, including Best Picture and Best Actor. Esmeralda, by the way, I did want to mention that the video of you guys eating, you and Vinny eating, I love the fact that, and you just blew right past it, but you said the word phenomenon, and V said yes, starring John Travolta.
Yeah,
you just blew right past that. I thought that was a fantastic reference. You made it a phenomenon.
I'm sure there'll be more of that in our...
Yeah. And you'll just blow right past it. Cause mm-hmm.
I do that a lot with him.
Yeah. He'll make these references to movies. And usually... okay. Brian sent in a text, Esmeralda. It's from Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Was Gymkhana the highest grossing film of 1985, or at least a runner-up? No, it wasn't.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Any year?
I'm looking at, I'm looking 84. Let me see what was in 85.
No, none?
No Gymkhana.
Oh,
85, of course. Why didn't they even have to look it up? Back to the Future.
No.
Back to the Future was the biggest movie.
You mean Gymkhana?
It should have been Gymkhana, though.
Right?
Yeah.
Can you show that one time?
Gymkhana?
For your...
it'll just be me and Brian in the theater.
He'll buy the house, though.
Oh, yeah. Will he? Well, he'll buy out the entire theater if I show Gymkhana. I don't even think Gymkhana's available. I don't even.
He has a copy.
Yeah,
I was gonna say Brian would know. He would get all his Gymkhana fan club friends.
Right. So many Gymkhana.
Oh yeah.
Kurt Thomas.
Kurt Thomas would show up, not wash his hands after he peed. Remember that story? He was all chalked up, and he didn't wash his hands after he peed. I peed next to... What was it? Listeners said, I peed next to Kurt Thomas.
Right, it was Brushes with Celebrity.
Brushes with Celebrity. I peed next to Kurt Thomas. How jealous is Brian that this guy got to pee next to Kurt Thomas? There's some weirdness in The Shape of Water, which is a very strange movie, by the way. And it's a great film. It opens today. But there's a moment in the movie, Michael Shannon plays the bad guy in it. And there's actually a scene in the movie where Octavia Spencer and Sally Hawkins play janitors, basically, who clean up this lab. And they're in the men's room, cleaning the men's room. And Michael Shannon walks in and says, "You don't have to leave, ladies. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You don't have to leave." And so they're inside, cleaning while he goes. And so this is how they set up the fact that he's kind of a villain. He washes his hands before he pees and then doesn't afterwards. He pees with his hands on his hips.
Oh.
And then I can't remember what the line of dialogue is. I can't remember what the line of dialogue is. But they're standing there in the bathroom with him. These ladies are standing in the bathroom with him. He washes his hands before he pees. He doesn't afterwards. And then he gives, I can't remember what the dialogue is, but he gives like a piece of dialogue about why you should wash your hands. There's something about how a man isn't a man if he washes his hands after he pees. Or so. It's like... What?
I mean, I could understand washing them before.
Yeah.
Because, there's germs everywhere. Sensitive bits.
Yeah. I remember when I was working at McDonald's, one of the managers would always, he would always like, he's like, I have to go to the bathroom. And he'd walk, we had a sink in the back of the grill area. So he would walk in the back of the grill area and he'd wash his hands for like 20 minutes and then go, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Because, he's like, I don't want to get grease all over my privates. So, because, everybody working at McDonald's, we're all covered in grease. We all smell like dehydrated onions. So, there you go. Oh, we got tons of texts here, but I can't get to them all. Someone said 1982 was the year I was born. That was Wes. I don't even have to look that up. It's E.T. And then 858 area code says, Jaws for me. I was born in 1975. Maybe that's why I like shark movies so much. Perhaps. Yeah, when Jaws came out, I became obsessed. I became a shark expert. I started buying. I'm not kidding. I started buying any books on sharks. Like, I had a bunch of paperback books. Because at that time, because when Jaws came out, you know, the publishers were like, let's get some books out on sharks. Just put pictures of sharks on stuff. It'll sell. Because anything with a shark on it, people bought it. Because Jaws was just a phenomenon. And so I just bought a bunch of shark books. And then I lost interest like a year later. I was like, yeah, I don't care about sharks anymore. All right. We have to break. And then when we come back, it's time for You Big Dummy. All right. Right here on 720 WGN.